Now, I don't think these officers knew Torah, but do you remember in Gan Eden there was a snakey? Who remembers in Gan Eden was a snake? That's right. Who does he want, the snakey? Who does he want should eat from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas? Mr. Snakey, who of course was the Eitz Sahara, who does he want to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And he wants this person to eat from it and chas v'shalom die. Yes? He wants Adam, right? He wants Adam to eat from the tree. He wants the man to eat from the tree because he wants to get rid of the Adam, because he wants to marry Chava. That's what it says in the Medrash. He says, Chava should not be married to Adam. Forget about it. I have a better chosen for Chava. Me, snakey, Nachash. I want to marry her. Oh, she's so nice. But Adam is now married to her. Well, we both can't be married to her, so we have to get rid of one of us. I'm not going to get rid of me. I'll get rid of him. How'll I get rid of him? I'll make a trick. He should eat from that tree that Hashem said, you better not eat from it, because the day you're going to eat from it, you're going to die. Then he'll eat from it. And then, goodbye, Adam. All of a sudden, Chava is all by herself. And all of a sudden, comes Snakey. Hello, here I am. Chasana time with Snakey. Nachash. Now, the thing is, if the Nachash wants to marry... Oh, I'm sorry. The thing is, if the Nachash wants to get Adam to eat from the tree, who does he go to speak to? He doesn't go to Adam. He speaks to Chava. The whole thing is through Chava. He goes to Chava. And there's a whole thing what it says over there in the Torah. And how he tricked her and he pushed her against the tree. And a whole thing. Now, if he wants Adam to eat from the tree, why does he go to Chava? Because he knew that Adam would not listen to him. And he was able to trick Chava, and Chava was able to get Adam to eat from the tree. There's a lot of midrashim on this about how it happened. He went. The officers said, if they knew this story or not, Vesichnisht, but this is what they said, let's go to the queen. The queen does not like Jews. We've heard her say many times, I don't like those Jews. Yeah, the queen is one of us. I mean, not exactly an officer, she's a queen. Not exactly a man, she's a lady. But she does not like Jews. She is no friend of the Jews. You can even say she hates Jews. She's an anti-Semite. Let's go through the queen, and the queen will get the king to sign the law. Go to the king, Rudolph. Here's a law, get rid of all the Jews. Go away from here, Vastres Mira Cup. I should get rid of my Jews, my loyal subjects that pay me taxes, and they behave themselves, and they never make trouble, and they lend me silver and gold when I need it. I should get rid of them. What for? Because they're Jews. Rudolph is not necessarily going to buy this story. Go to the queen. Queen, wouldn't you like the whole Jewish neighborhood to be only Goyim and no Jews? And when you go shopping, you don't have to go to their stores, you just go to regular stores? Well, the queen might say, well, I like the Jewish stores. Forget about that. Okay, we'll make sure there's really good stores over there. You should go shopping, you shouldn't see any Jews. You wouldn't have to see yarmulkes and tzitzis, and you wouldn't have to see sheitlach, and you wouldn't have to see the sneistika clothing, and you wouldn't have to see all these things, Jewish things. You wouldn't have to see shuls and yeshivas and Hebrew signs. You just see goyish things all over the place. And big goyish stores. Well, okay, it sounds good. All you have to do, queen, is to get the king to sign his name on this royal decree to throw out all the Jews. Well, they went to the queen and they explained, of course, in their best way, with the most honor, Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, please do this and please do that. And of course, you know, we'll be very good to you and whatever they promised her. And she said, this is a good idea. Yes. to get the king to sign this royal decree and throw out all the Jews, especially that rabbi, the Maharal. Yes, I don't like him either. I don't like those Jews. There's something about them I don't like. Sometimes I can't put my finger on it, you know? If it's their beards, or their hats, or their long coats, or because on Saturday I would like to go shopping, but all the stores are closed and I get so upset. All the stores are closed. Why? It's Shabbos. Shabbos. And they don't eat our food. You know, yeah, I don't like these Jews. I mean, it sounds like Haman, but over here maybe it sounds like Zeresh because it's the queen. You know who Zeresh was, right? Zeresh was Haman's wife, right? Schlecht. And the queen said, tonight by supper time, I will have the royal cooks cook the king's favorite meal. And I'll get dressed up in my beautiful crown and my beautiful clothes. And they'll serve the king delicious wine. We'll get him in a good mood. And then I'll go over to him and I'll get him to sign the decree. I think it's a good idea. But what about all that money the Jews give? Well, we'll take care of that. Don't worry. We'll think of a plan. Well, you better. I need money sometimes to go shopping and the king gives it to me. He better have the money, because if I want to go shopping and he doesn't have the money, well, I'm going to get upset at you. Something might happen to you, officers, because you made me do this. Oh, we'll figure it out, you know. Okay. And that night, by supper time, the king is sitting at his table waiting for supper. And he has, of course, his crown and his royal bib, and he's waiting with his fork and knife and spoon and his plate, and he wonders what's for supper. And the queen comes in, and he sees she's all dressed up in beautiful clothes. Ooh, what's the special thing today that you're so dressed up for a regular supper? Oh, king, you'll see. We're going to have a beautiful supper, and then you'll see what the special thing is. And the royal servants bring in the king's favorite meal, whatever it was. What do you think it was? Who thinks they know what the king's regular meal was? Come right here, let's hear you. What is a meal fit for a king on a very special time? What would be a meal fit for a king?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti, okay. Maybe the king had spaghetti. Who would like to say something they think is the king's favorite meal? Come here. What would, if you were the king and you were having the favorite meal, of course your cooks in your kitchen can cook you anything in the world. What would you take for the special meal?
Salami.
Okay, so far we have a plate of spaghetti with salami on it. Okay, come over here. Yes. Come.
Rice.
Rice, okay. Rice and spaghetti and salami.
Meatballs.
Okay, meatballs, spaghetti, rice, and salami. This is getting to be a pretty good meal over here.
Chicken. Pickles. Beef. Noodles.
Okay. Whatever the king's favorite meal was, and everybody put together a very nice meal for the king. The king ate it. Oh, my favorite meal. And then they brought out his favorite wine. Ooh, my favorite wine. And they brought out his favorite juicy. My favorite juicy. And they brought out his favorite dessert. My favorite dessert. My favorite candies. My favorite cookies. Everything my favorite. And maybe he had a cup of coffee, maybe a cup of tea, maybe he had something else, whatever he had. A beautiful meal, and the king was in a good mood. And now the queen comes over to the king. Oh, my king, my royal highness husband, I would like to ask you a favor. After all, you're such a good mood, and we had such a nice supper. And of course, I dressed up in my fancy and schmanciest clothes, and I'm wearing my special crown. So, I would like to ask you a favor, a small favor. She took a pen, in those days probably the feather and ink, and she unrolled. It was in her pocket the whole time, the inside pocket of her gown, of her royal robes. She took out a rolled up piece of paper, and she says, King, all I need here is your signature for you to sign over here on this paper. And the king says, what is this I'm signing? Do you owe money to the store because you went shopping and you took it on credit? Oh, no. This is a very important thing that the king should make to be a law. I'm not telling the king what to do. I'm only asking him, if you sign your name here, it's just going to be very easy and quick, and everything will be just fine. And the king says, well, I first have to read the law. I'm not just going to sign my name on the line without looking to see what's on the paper. Well, the queen was hoping, and all the other officers who were probably peeking from behind the curtain somewhere were also hoping, that the king would be in such a good mood, and maybe a little bit chicker, that he would just sign his name and not ask too many questions. But King Rudolf II was a smarter king and a better king than just to sign his name onto something without reading what it's about. Should you ever sign your name to something without knowing what you're signing? Never do it. You can get yourself in big trouble. And the king starts reading, hear ye, hear ye. King Rudolf II announces to all of the Jewish people in his country, especially in Prague, that the rabbi, the Maharal, and all Jews must pack up their things and they have to leave within 30 days and get out of the country and leave their homes, or else King Rudolf II and his army will get them. And the king reads that and he says, I'm not going to sign such a thing. Why should I sign such a thing? Who made such a thing in the first place? I would not sign such a thing. And the queen starts drinking him a cup. Oh, you have to sign it. It's very important. I don't like Jews. I don't want to hear stories about the Maharal. I want to go into the neighborhood and only see Goyim, not Jews. I don't want to look at yarmulkes. I don't want to look at tzitzis. I don't want to look at talasim. I don't want to look at Hebrew letters. I only want Goyish stores, and I don't want to have these Jews around. Now, what about the money they give me? Don't worry. We'll take care about that later. I'll do less shopping. Instead of 10 pairs of shoes, I'll buy one. And she's drained the king a cup. And he gets up and he walks over to the window. And she walks with him to the window and drains him a cup. And then he says, I need some air to think in the garden. She goes to the garden and drains him a cup. And then he goes for a walk and she goes, oh, I'll walk with him. Please sign it. Sign it over here. Here's the pen. Just sign your name. That's all you got to do. She's draining him a cup and he can't stand it. He says, I don't want to sign it. He says, King, my husband, why don't you do the same thing that sometimes people do before they sign something very important? You sleep on it. Now, what means sleep on it? There's two things that means sleep on it. One thing is you go to sleep, and in the morning you wake up, and during the night you had a chance to rest. And now you wake up and you think about it again, and then you go and do it. There's another way, it seems the queen knew about, where you actually take the rolled up paper, you put it under your pillow, and when you go to sleep, you're sleeping on it. He should put the decree under his pillow. He should sleep on it because it's going to be under his pillow. And then in the morning, he should sign it. She says, I'm going to put the pen right next to your bed. And as soon as you wake up in the morning, you signed it because you slept on it. And so the king went schluffy. The king went to sleep in his royal pajamas. Under the king's pillow is the rolled up paper upon which is written the terrible decree against the Jews to Chas v'Shalom, drive them out of their homes with no place to go, and especially the Maharal and all the Jews. All of a sudden, the king, as he's sleeping in his pajamas, he falls asleep, he starts to have a dream. And this is the dream the king had. The king is fighting a war. And the king has his big, gigantic army with him and his big generals. But, of course, the king is going to war himself. By the way, do you know the difference between when the Jewish kings went to war and when the Goyish kings went to war? Many times the Goyish king would also go to the war. But who would go in front? Who would go first? The soldiers. Who would go in the back? the king. Because if anything happened, well, it's going to happen to the soldiers, and the king would have time to run away. But by the Jewish army, do you know who went in front of all the soldiers and all the officers and generals? The first one? The king himself went first. And everybody went after him. He was so brave, he said, look, I'm leading the army in front, and they should see that I'm not afraid. Because who is fighting the war? Is the king fighting the war? Or is the Melech, Malchei, Amalachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Abister fighting the war? If the Abister is fighting the war, are you going to be afraid to go into the war if the Abister is fighting for you? Hashem himself is fighting for you, so you're not afraid? You see the king going, you remember that Hashem is the great king and he's going in front, you're not afraid. But by the Goyish army, it was the opposite. The king is fighting a war. And all of a sudden, in the middle of all the fighting, the enemy comes and surrounds the king. And the king says, help, help, the enemy is around me. They're going to catch me. Help me. And he looks around, and he didn't see any of his soldiers, only enemy soldiers and enemy generals and officers. And they're all standing around the king. Oh no, I'm captured. All of a sudden, a big general, and a big enemy general, goes over to the king with his sword. And he says, okay, put your hands up. You're under arrest. We are taking you to the special jail. And they march the king now to the special jail. There is like a building, a small building. It's made out of very thick rock. In front are the bars, like a cage. It's a jail cell. Looks like a kind of a cage, like a building with the bars, and it's in the middle of the field, in the middle of the road. I mean, the road is in front. It's in the middle of an empty place with a road over there, and they open the cage part, they open the bars, and they put the king inside, and they put down the bars, and they lock it with a few different locks. So it's all locked up. There are no doors at all in the building, just rock, very strong. And in front, the bars lifted up. Now they're down and locked. And they say to the king, here you will stay. And that's it. And all the soldiers and all the generals and all the enemies, they left. And now the king is alone in this building, this jail building, in the middle of nowhere. And the king thinks to himself, how long will I stay here? What's going to happen to me? Will I starve, chas v'shalom? I don't know if he says chas v'shalom, he's a goy. Well, am I going to starve? Where will I get food? Oh, maybe somebody on the road will help me and let me out. After all, there's a road here, people will travel here. Well, a few hours go by, and all of a sudden through the bars, somebody, now he didn't know who because he didn't see the person, they threw in a bag. Well, in the bag was bread and water. A thing of water, like a jar of water, and some bread. Oh, look, I have food to eat. Somebody at least threw me food. And he ate the food. He didn't have to wash. I mean, he's a goy, but he ate, you know, he drank the water and he ate the food. Well, he went to sleep. At least he wasn't that hungry. Woke up the next morning, sometime during the day, somebody throws a bag in there. Hey, who threw the bag? And somebody must have come from the side or the back, and all of a sudden they throw the bag and they run away. Well, at least it looks like that I'm going to have food in here. Well, a strange thing happened besides, you know, well, it wasn't so strange to get the food. He figured out, well, they know I'm here. They're taking care to give me food at least. I shouldn't just starve to death. A person was walking on the road. Hey, look, the first time I'm seeing somebody on the road, somebody's walking on the road. Hey, come here. Can you help me, please? I'm locked up. I'm really a king. I'm locked up. Can you help me? Well, the person walked right by as if they did not hear the king at all. as if they didn't even hear any sound, as if nothing was there. The person walked right by. They didn't even look. Hey, can't you see where I am? Can't you see me? Somebody's calling you. Can you help me? The person walks right by. That's strange. Didn't even turn around to look. Where's the sound coming from? A little while later, some other person's going on the road. You know, a normal traveler's going on the road. Hey, over here. Can you come over here? Can I speak to you for a minute? And he says real loud. The person on the road just goes right by like he doesn't hear a sound. Hey, don't you hear me? I'm right over here. Hey, hello? The person walks right by. This went on for a few days. People go on the road. Anytime the king saw somebody on the road, he starts screaming, please come here. I'm locked up. Can you help me? Can I at least talk to you? Maybe you can give a message to somebody for me. Please just come over here and say hello. I haven't talked to anybody. I get a bag of food. That's very good. But you can't talk to a bag of food. At least I have food. Let me talk to some person. I have nobody to talk to over here. The people would just walk by as if nothing happened at all. Like they couldn't hear, they couldn't see. And every day he would be by the bars. Of course, he couldn't go out. And he would scream and yell and shout at everybody on the road. And nobody ever paid attention. Not one time. This went on for a year. This went on for 2 years. This went on for 3 years. This went on for 4 years. This went on for 5 years. This went on for 6 years. Guess how long this went on?
10 years.
7 years. 7 years. The king is in that jail, and nobody ever came over to him, even though he saw so many people on the road. And of course, 7 years in that jail, you can imagine what the king looked like. What if you never got a haircut for 7 years? How would you look? What if you never took a bath or a shower for 7 years? How would you look? How would you feel? How would you be? What would your clothes look like? We don't want to go into much detail over here and explain everything, but it would be pretty horrible. What if you never cut your nails for 7 years? You'd look like, who knows what, we don't even want to say, with those long nails and hair down to your feet and a beard down to your knees and not exactly perfume or delicious smelling smells or not exactly so clean and not exactly clothes to go to a chasana, you would look like a total wreck. And, of course, smell like one, and it would be just terrible. And this is what the king looked like. All of a sudden, one day, after 7 years in that jail, the king sees somebody walking on the road, and right away he felt, this person looks different than all the other people I've ever seen. He had a white beard. He was wearing a hat. He was wearing a long coat. He had these kind of strings coming out of his pants. And he looked very halic, and he was carrying a walking stick. He was carrying a walking stick. And the king thought to himself, looks like one of those Jews. One of those Jews in my kingdom. Once in a while, when I go out of my royal wagon, I see Jews. Once in a while, I pass through their neighborhood. Yes, that's what they look like. This must be a Jew. Looks like a rabbi to me. A Jewish rabbi. And he starts to call him. The king never gave up after 7 years even to call people, even though they never paid attention. Please, rabbi, could you come here, please? All of a sudden, the rabbi, the Jew, turned around towards the king. And he says, yes, I'll come. I'm coming right now. The king says, look, the first time anybody paid attention to me in 7 years, this rabbi, this Jew is coming. And the rabbi says, oh, what are you doing here in the middle of nowhere in this jail? And the king says, don't you recognize who I am? I'm the king. Don't you recognize that I'm the king? And the rabbi says, actually, king, I could not recognize you. You've changed. Look at your hair. Look at your clothes. Look how you are. You didn't look like a king. Look at your face. You've changed. But now that I look at you closer, yes, I have seen the king before. Once in a while, when I saw a king's parade, I was able to get a glimpse of the king in the wagon. Yes, you are the king, but at first I could not recognize you. You have changed. This is not the way the king usually looks. And the king says, I was captured 7 years ago in the war, and I was locked up in this building, and nobody pays attention to me, and all I get is bread and water every day. Please, can you do something to help me to let me out? And the rabbi says, okay, sure. He takes his stick. He walks over to the side. Rabbi, where are you going? Don't leave me. The rabbi says, don't worry. I'm helping you. He takes a stick and he knocks it on the side of the jail. Now, what was on the side of the jail? Just stones, right? All of a sudden, a doorway. All of a sudden, there's a big hole. And the rocks fell down and made like a doorway. And now the king could come out. The rabbi took his stick, he knocked a little bit, not hard, he didn't have to make a big bang. He tapped the stick on the side, the rocks fell down, made a doorway, and the king came out. Oh, thank you. I'm free from the jail. I'm going to run back to my palace, and I'm going to tell everybody I'm back. I'm the king. The rabbi said, excuse me, with all due respect, king, but if you run back to your palace looking like that, they'll never believe you're the king, and they'll throw you out. They'll think you're some kind of who knows what, who came from who knows where, off the street, and all of a sudden you're saying you're the king? You know what you look like? You didn't have a mirror in your jail for the last 7 years. You look terrible. Nobody will believe you that you're the king. And the king says, oh, what should I do? I want to be a king again on my throne, on my palace. And the rabbi says, king, why don't you come with me? And I'll take care of you, and I will get you ready to go back to your palace. Because if anybody sees you the way you are now, nobody will believe you're the king. If they see that you are again their king, then they'll believe you, if they'll recognize you. And the king goes now with this rabbi, with this Jew, and the rabbi takes him to his home. And first he gives him a good meal, and he gives him to drink, and then he gives him to take a bath, a good bath to clean himself up. And he says, I'm going to call the barber to come here, so you don't have to go to the barber. The barber will come here and cut your hair. And he's also going to cut your nails. And then I'm going to call the tailor. The tailor will make you beautiful robes again, the king's clothing. And that way, when you go back to your palace, you will have had a proper haircut, you clean yourself off, you'll have beautiful clothes again, and then people will see that you're the king. Stay here and get a rest, and in the morning, we'll get your hair cut, we'll get your nails cut, and we'll make the royal robes for you. Now, as the king got in bed to go to sleep, the rabbi put two plates next to his bed on a little table. And the king says, Rabbi, why are you putting these two plates next to my bed? And the rabbi says, one plate is for your nails, and the other plate is for your hair. Because in the morning early, I'm going to arrange for the barber, and he will cut your hair and your nails, and they will put them, the hair will be on one plate, and the nails will be on the other plate. And of course, the tailor will make your clothing. We'll do that early in the morning, because I know you want to get back to your palace. And the king went to sleep,
And he started to cry that he was so happy he was out of jail and that he was able to go back to his palace. And he fell asleep in the bed. All of a sudden, the king woke up. Now, we don't mean the king in the dream woke up. We mean the king who was having the dream woke up. He went to sleep in the dream and he woke up for real. As soon as he went to sleep, he woke up. Well, it's the same king, but one king was dreaming about the other king. Well, the king in the dream who went to sleep, he was being dreamt by the king who was sleeping, who now woke up. Is that clear?